I'll call this Council and Budget Committee meeting to order. Madam Clerk, the roll call.
Your Worship, all members of Council are present.
No, are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest? Being none, there are no announcements this evening. I don't have any opening remarks. I don't know whether you do or not. I'm going to turn the chair over to you.
Thank you, Your Worship. Corporate Services is now opened. I'd like to ask Jonathan Jansen to provide us with his presentation.
Good evening, everyone. Tonight is the second step in our budget process for 2016, the focus tonight being the water and wastewater budget, as well as the user fees that are referenced in the report that follows. So just a brief overview for tonight's presentation. We'll begin with a review of the timetable for the entire budget approval. Mr. Grant Boutin will then present the service delivery objectives, and then I will present the budgeted costs and look at the rate setting exercise along with the related risks and opportunities for 2016 and beyond. So this is similar to what we've presented before. Following tonight, the bylaw for the water and wastewater budget is scheduled to go to the January 18th meeting for approval. This is in time for to process the January bill at the beginning of February with the new rates. The library and EDTC budgets are presented on January 13th, and the general levy budget and assessment analysis report will be presented January 26th, with a possible alternate date after that if needed. And then the following general levy and general capital budget bylaw to follow February 22nd. At this point, I'll turn the presentation over to Mr. Boutin, who will speak to the service delivery objectives.
Thank you, Mr. Jansen. This presentation, this half of the presentation, has been condensed from previous. The council being year two into this is aware of the operational activities within water and wastewater services, so we're going to speak to more of our legislative challenges and then in the goals and objectives going forward. So this first slide, we talk about what's our responsibilities from the operational side as far as the delivery of services on water and wastewater. All of us, including our capital and finance team, are committed to a reliable system of service delivery on the water and the wastewater side. And of course, we have a legislative responsibility to deliver safe drinking water. Council is aware of our responsibilities with respect to full cost recovery. We've prepared and submitted our second financial plan to the Minister of Housing Affairs to advise them that we have put a place a financing plan to just achieve that goal and avoid deferring that burden to future generations, both on the operational and the capital side. And Jonathan will speak in detail to that in his financial component. And of course, the quality of life to the residents of Fort Erie is extremely important to all of us. All of our roles and responsibilities and our service objectives are focused on protection of the natural environment. One of Council's goals to us as well is to eliminate basement flooding and sewer backups associated with our struggles and battles with the extraneous flow component of our wastewater system. This is really important, and I think every presentation or every opportunity it comes before the Council, your roles and responsibilities with respect to your support and commitment to the Town of Fort Erie's drinking water quality management system is reinforced in these three bullets. All of us, from staff to council, need to buy into the fact that we're committed to the delivery of safe drinking water, maintaining compliance to all applicable legislation and regulation, and council's aware that's been a challenge on a bunch of fronts, not just Fort Erie, but for everybody in Ontario, since the legislative environment has turned into what it is. At the same time, making us all better at what we do with respect to delivering safe drinking water. Then from a maintenance perspective, we're committed to continuous improvement of our quality management system. And how that's achieved is we are subjected to an internal audit of ourselves and our operational plan annually. We also are subjected to a surveillance audit by our accreditation body, SEI Global, which was just completed in December. And I'm pleased to announce that they didn't find any non-conformances in our operational plan. And then we get a compliance audit from the Ministry of Environment annually to ensure we're in compliance with legislation. So the scrutiny from outside players into what the town of Fort Erie does in achieving all these objectives is pretty significant. And again, I'm proud to say that we're continually meeting all those objectives. This has been before council before, and you were provided with that particular document, Taking Care of Your Drinking Water, a guide for members of municipal council. It's a great document. There was a new version of it put out in 14, and I provided it to the group. A really good read, about 40 pages long, and it's got all kinds of excerpts from the Safe Drinking Water Act that are very specific to members of council and what your roles and responsibilities are. And we brought this up last year as far as the Walkerton Clean Water Center, who's been a leader in providing training components to ensure every municipality in Ontario is meeting their objectives. They have a standard of care presentation that we've considered to be a mandatory exercise for the members of the council. So come this April, we'll be putting out a couple of dates, either that late afternoon or evening, for all members of council and the mayor to attend. I think it's a good opportunity for the group to further understand what their obligations are with respect to the standard of care, which is Section 19 of the Safe Drinking Water Act. I think historically, since I've been doing this, that the councils of the day have been supportive, but we have an obligation as staff to ensure that you have a real understanding, and staff has felt that with an outside service provider providing that training and communicating those roles and responsibilities in that very short session, will pay huge benefits to yourselves. So come this April, we'll be reaching out to you to schedule that 4-hour training session. John's going to speak a little bit more to this, but I'd like to see a graphic in front of the council. When we're deliberating tonight and establishing the water and sewer rate, there's far more components to than just what Grant's piece of water wastewater services from the operation, maintenance, and compliance side. That water bill and the revenue stream supports a component of our capital program and their operational support on the engineering side, and of course Jonathan's finance team, the CSU group, billing and collections, and the IT support is all funded by the water bill. So again, it's not just the outside delivery of services. We have to recover the revenue that supports those three building blocks there. And council has seen this slide before, and it's good for staff to look at it annually, because the challenge for us is to try to recover the revenue that's required to run the utility, to fund the capital program, and at the same time keep the rates affordable. The intent of this graphic is to establish the fact that this would be a typical water distribution system from the source water at 2 to treatment, supply, distribution, storage, and then getting the water to each individual customer. So in the bottom right-hand corner in bullet number 11 there, you can see the family of five is subjected to the base rate component of their water bill, very similar to the single grandmother on her own. And our responsibility in establishing the base rate component of the rate is split equally amongst all connections to our system, and we struggle to ensure that that's affordable, but at the same time generate the revenue. So unfortunately, a single family person pays the same base component as the family of five or six. So it is what it is in regard to that. We've been successful in trying to bring that number down, and Jonathan will speak more to that. But again, to capture the big picture in a graphic, see what it takes to get the water to each individual customer, those costs have to be shared equally amongst all connections. In this graphic, I'm going to speak a little bit about what we do with respect to water loss. And it's always a big question. Council's familiar that the two-tier delivery in Niagara is such that the Rose Hill Water Treatment Plant pushes the water out the door, and we take care of it pretty much from there. And the goal is to collect enough revenue from our metered accounts to ensure that we can achieve something similar to what the meter at the door at Rose Hill. Unfortunately, that's never the case. There's always going to be a component of water loss. But what we have to strive to do is minimize that. We have many programs in place, from setting repairs as this as a priority, leak detection programs, water loss surveys, acoustic sounding. It's a continued challenge for us. That particular photograph is a 6-inch cast iron water main, and if you can look at the losses associated with that particular leak, about 3,145 cubic meters a day, which is a big amount of water. And last year, in 2015, we reported 57 water main breaks. This particular break is a small break. So to lose that volume of water on a small break, you can appreciate the magnitude of a larger pipe, a larger break, and the losses associated with that. So we make an effort to track that in order to quantify a component of the water losses associated with water main break failures. Various circles, they report unaccounted for water or unaccounted for water numbers. We don't like to look at that today because we do these activities. The verbiage that we use today is unbilled water numbers. So we know that our meter readings don't match the region's meter reading, but we can justify and rationalize a component of that to try and track down further losses. The issue here and the reason for the graphic, although if we can aggressively accelerate the replacement of the cast iron water main component of our distribution system, we're going to significantly reduce the losses associated with this. So we continually stress to the council funding our capital program and taking a more aggressive approach at removing the remainder of our cast iron pipe will minimize those losses and bring down that unbilled water component to something more manageable. So these are some of our operational commitments, not just from grants responsibility at Water and Wastewater Operations, but corporately, I believe. Legislative compliance is a big deal for us. We have a conformance and maintenance of our accreditation, and we require that to run the utility now, and have successfully were reaccredited this fall. Again, I spoke briefly on reducing the unbilled water volumes. The capital investment needs to continue. About 25% of our distribution system is still older cast iron pipe, and some of it is deteriorating at a far more accelerated rate than it has in the past due to its age. So again, we need to maintain that commitment. Completion of the water meter exchange program. Council is aware we're doing a residential reach out now to our customers. We're realizing some successes there in reducing those unbilled water volume numbers because of the advancements in technology, the accuracy of the meters, and the assistance in our billing teams being able to obtain regular, routine, accurate readings. So those numbers they report back to us will complement our efforts on water loss programs. I spoke again on our focus on leak detection and repair programs. Every identified leak, whether it's a water main break or a service leak that doesn't appear to be contributing too much loss is a priority for us. Water main breaks are immediate, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and any smaller service leak is not allowed to go more than 7 days. So we're very aggressive in taking on that effort to reduce those numbers. And similarly on the sewer side, we're committed to reducing the infiltration into our sewer system. Again, the capital investment with respect to sanitary sewer systems, we still have a large amount of old vitrified clay sewers in town, which are the largest contributors due to their vintage age and deteriorating pipe and allowing that infiltration of groundwater into the sewer system. We recently completed two large size programs, one on Waterloo Street. Lewis Street was completed last year, and Catherine Street's on the books for 2016. So those three large trunk sewers that we own alone is the direction we need to go. There'll be a realized reduction in an extraneous flow component and some sort of reduction realized through our pre and post flow monitoring of those target areas. We can say to ourselves, yes, this was the place to put your money. You reduced infiltration at this amount. So that's on the capital investment side. From the extraneous flow program, our annual target areas, that includes visiting a sewer shed. An isolated sewer shed by pumping station is the most reasonable and sensible target area to attack. And town staff internally goes into every home, conducts an assessment of their plumbing, any contributions that may be cross-connections to our sewer system that shouldn't be there, like sump pumps. We do a video inspection of every single lateral in that area to ensure the integrity of that pipe, that it's not a contributor to the extraneous flow, and then we address them as they're found. The last component there, we've had questions in the past about not just myself, but other departments involved in water and wastewater, of leveraging funding opportunities from other players. That's a regular thing for us. We pursued all available grants for both operating. From the region last year, they contributed to through their Water Smart funding program for our hydrant painting component was 50% completed last year, and that appeared as a matter of the budget. This late fall or early fall, we spoke with the region on some of their CSO programs, and they've committed funding something outside the norm for some capital programs in 2016, as well as a commitment to the ongoing works on Daytona. In preparing the budget and the presentations before the council tonight, some of those opportunities for funding don't appear as a line item because from the region's perspective, they just asked us to present to them, essentially they called it an expression of interest. Is the town of Fort Erie going to commit to these programs in 2016 so we can bring before regional council the envelope of money? So we made that commitment to them. We demonstrated to them that, yes, we are, and we will look for funding in various programs. Last year, we had funding for miscellaneous sewage repairs, for CCTV work, and for our home extraneous flow program. The unfortunate part for us from a budget planning perspective, we didn't get approval for the region for those particular monies for 15 until July of 2015. So it doesn't appear, but they are contributing. We are having active dialogue with them, both myself and Kelly Walsh's team, and bringing forward any new initiatives or new available funds. And the region has been very receptive to the town of Fort Erie in offering up some support with respect to those activities. So we certainly appreciate that relationship. And I think that would be it for me. Jonathan?
Thank you. I'll now present the dollars and as well as some of the concepts behind the water and wastewater program. Our attempt is to make this as clear and straightforward as possible, but this budget is complex. It has many fixed and variable inputs, and there's a fixed and variable price setting exercise, so it's always a lot to digest. In considering the cost to the customer, we'll be looking at three areas of expenses and other revenues, that being the regional treatment costs and the volume estimates that are used for determining those amounts. And that, that, as you'll see, is the largest component of the costs for the town, both year over year and the change, in this case, for 2016. The town expenses under 1B is the cost for operating the system, both for the cost that the operations division do to maintain the system, as Grant was demonstrating, as well as the billing and financing components for administering the service. The supplementary budget presents any new items or allocations to and from reserve funding that are considered for the year. Section 2, then, for rate setting, considers customer volumes. This is the volumes upon which we base the volumetric rates for charging customers, and it's based on what we expect them to purchase during the year, as well as the town's billing methodology, which is the method that that determines how the costs are allocated both in the base component and the variable rate. So the total budgeted expenses for 2016 are $17.5 million. And in this graph, you can see the breakdown by the functional area of what those costs are. Again, you can tell that in this case for 2016, 61% of the costs are the regional treatment costs. Just to note as well that in terms of this number, the budgeted expenses are $17.5 million, but the rates that we wish to collect through the rates, the rate revenue is $17.2 million, which is what you see at the bottom of Appendix 2, and the difference is other non-rate revenues such as local improvement charges, grants, and so on. And just to stress, as Grant did as well, that this is a full cost recovery system, so there's no reliance on the general levy or property taxes. So as noted, the major change for 2016 is the increase in the regional treatment costs of $1.6 million, or 9.74%. This follows the regional budget that was approved on November 12th. The regional budget was approved at a combined net decrease, actually, of 0.03%, which was broken down between the water increase of 0.3% and a wastewater decrease of 0.2%. The increases in the town's portion of that have changed year over year, however, because the town's share of the water volume in that budget is up 1.98%, and the wastewater volumes are up 3.87%. So while the region's budget was no change substantially, our portion of that budget has increased. Part of our forecasting for the years 2017 to 21 have included an assumption of a 2% increase per year in those costs. The way that the region bills the municipalities for treatment has not changed in 2016. Water continues to be billed to the municipalities as 75% variable of their cost and 25% fixed. Wastewater continues to be 100% fixed, apportioned on the prior three-year averages of the volumes. For Fort Erie, the actual wastewater volumes used in 2014 were a higher share of the total than was included in the budget. In this case, as was already anticipated last year, the town is being charged with the $935,000 adjustment adjustment for 2016. The way that this method works was reviewed this last year by the local area municipalities and was again approved and deemed to be the best method of reliably charging for actual use. It allows municipalities within the 3 years time to set aside monies for those changes and to anticipate them as much as they can. For 2017, based on actual 2015 consumption to date, we're estimating an additional charge of $550,000, and that's been included in the forecast. So for town expenses and other revenues, there's an increase in the budget of $152,611, or 0.93%. You can follow along with Appendix 2 to the report to see the line-by-line breakdown for these. For revenues, there's a slight decrease in revenue related to regional grants and the expiring of some local improvement charges. There's increases to wages and benefits that's in line with the collective agreement, which expires at the end of 2016. And there's a small increase to overhead costs, for example, being insurance and other costs, as demonstrated in that graphic that Grant had that showed some of the overhead that are charged out to the utility. As well, there's a reduction in debt charges of $97,000. For debt that was previously being paid and is now matured and no longer necessary. And just to note with that the town policy does repurpose maturing debt as an increase to capital contributions. We'll see that later in the supplemental section. The town does have two programs that do help in certain instances to help with utility payment relief. These are programs we've had in the past, and we're proposing to continue the Water Emergency Relief Fund at $15,000, which is provided to low-income families. This has been used well over the years, and we have experienced $10,000 in cost year-to-date so far for 15. The Seniors Utility Relief Fund, or SURF, is budgeted again at $21,000, and this is provided to low-income seniors. That brings us to the supplementary budget. There is no new services being proposed for the year. Last year, we did have a couple other items, being the compliance coordinator funding and some software funding, but the total for this year of $1.085 million, or 6.57%, relates to reserve transfers that are being requested to help mitigate or stabilize the rates. The contributions to the rate stabilization reserves from the operating budgets are increasing from the 2015 levels of $64,500 for water and $77,100 for wastewater to slightly higher at $100,000 and $80,000 both for water and wastewater. The wastewater rate stabilization reserve changes include reductions of $1.188 million, and this is used to fund the one-time rate wastewater reconciliation costs. Wastewater proposes to eliminate $100,000 in funding from the rates as well, from the rate stabilization reserves as well. So that's part of that $1.188 million is reducing our reliance on transfers from reserves to mitigate the rate this year. That's in part due to the operating deficits we're projecting for the year and the impact those are having on those reserve balances. The last item there, the $64,896 is the amount we just mentioned earlier, to repurpose debt towards our capital needs. So this just a bit more information on that $64,000 as it relates to our overall objectives with increasing our capital transfers. The $64,000 is the maturing debt net of also some revenues that are maturing or expiring, the local improvement charges. So we've netted those out to have more of a modest increase from that and to lessen the impact of the lost revenues. The $254,000 is not a supplemental item. That is included in the base budget section, as that's a new capital amortization amount that was approved through the capital budget. And this relates to the CMS and industrial lands project on Bowen Road, which adds $90,000 to the water capital budget reserves and $164,000 to the wastewater capital reserves. The target contribution there in the right column has been updated for 2016 slightly. While we don't have the revised impacts of the asset management plan, they haven't made their way into the reserve policy yet at this point, but that column has been adjusted for this new capital amortization amount for that project. So you'll see that at the bottom, the 67% from 15 is improving to a 70% allocation towards the target. So while this isn't intended to be a complete picture given the whole asset management plan, it is demonstrating that we are moving towards having a more responsible contribution to our capital needs. The capital budget was presented at the beginning of November, and just want to mention that the master servicing plans are the ones that guide and identify the priority replacement in connection with the asset management plan as they're integrated together. For 2016, the water distribution system master plan update that is currently underway and is expected to be completed in the year in 2016, as well as the wastewater master plan will begin in 2016, both of which will be key components to guiding the way we address capital needs in our system and the system needs going forward. So just to give a bit more of an overview as well to the way we use rate stabilization reserves in the context of the supplementary budget, these are used to mitigate the annual increases. And you can see here there's a few examples, particularly with our largest cost of the regional treatment costs. Year over year, there's certainly always some uncertainty in terms of those budget increases. Our proportionate share, which is the primary driver of this year's changes, as well as unknown future treated volumes, which both the 16 amount and the 17 projected amount of $550,000 serve to show the need of potential reliance on those reserves to lessen the impact of those reconciliation adjustments. So this page is in a summary of Appendix 2 to the report. You'll see that the net increase in costs for the water and wastewater budget from 2015 are $676,000, or 4.1%, moving us from the $16.5 million at the top to the $17.2 million total. So that is the total of our expenses. Once those costs are known, then we move to setting the rates for the customers, and look to, of course, as it is a full cost recovery system, recover those costs in whole. This is done by estimating, A, the customer consumption volumes on which the billings are based, and B, billing both the fixed and volumetric or variable rates. This graph shows the breakdown of revenues by source. We are slightly higher on the wastewater billings than the water billings at 44%, as well as mentioned earlier, some of those other user fees, grants, local improvement charges, and so on. So for rate setting, for 2016, a significant effort has again been made to make the consumption volumes, which we set those rates on, more realistic. This responds to a longer-term decreasing consumption trend, and while and also reflects single-season changes, such as the impacts from recent relatively cool and damp summers that we've had. Water volumes for 2015 were based on a 4.5% reduction from 2014. That reduction last year, while it was more aggressive, certainly than the 2% that had been used over the last several years before that, was still higher than the projected 2015 actuals by 8%. So again, for 2016, we're proposing another larger decrease in the volumes that we project to recover of 3.55% for water. And this is in line with the 5-year average. Similar for wastewater, volumes for 2015 were based on a 4% reduction. And again, that was not enough to reflect the 5-year average and is still higher than 15 actuals. So we're again trying to have a reasonable acceleration of that a bit more to get us in more in line with our 5-year averages. So a 2.8% reduction for 2016 brings our wastewater volumes within 1% of the 5-year average. The method used to bill town customers, as noted earlier, is a balancing act between the base and the volumetric rates. It attempts to honor both all different types of users we have in our system. The goal is to have sufficient stable revenues while balancing the need for conservation and customer control. The town is making progress towards the objective it has previously committed to of changing the base to be proportionately less of the total average bill and making volume estimate reductions to minimize the risk of shortfalls from consumption. The base charge reflects the fact that the majority of costs are fixed in nature, as that visual earlier showed, both for a single person home and for a family of five. For example, about 90% of the region's cost to produce water is fixed, as costs of water treatment plants and pipes need to be covered regardless of how much they're used. The 2016 water and wastewater Combined base rate is proposed to increase from $64.77 to $65.42, which is a 1% increase. The average in Niagara of the base being part of the bill is 43%. So this change for Fort Erie for 2016 moves us from 62% down to 60%. We're still on the higher end, and that we'll look at in a moment as well in terms of our relative densities. But that we continue to have a forecasted goal to meet more in the middle of what the Niagara average is and reduce it to 57% within our 5-year forecast. This chart we've shown in the past, it compares the number of service connections per kilometer of distribution system pipe in Niagara. This is from analysis a few years ago that unfortunately has been dropped in the last couple of years by the province. But here you can see Fort Erie's relatively low number of connections or households per kilometer due to the large geographical area the system serves. This is clearly a revenue challenge for anyone in the lower portion of that, as your costs are quite high on the fixed side, but you have fewer customers to recover those costs from. In this particular example, St. Catharines would have 89% more customers per kilometer of pipe than Fort Erie. Moving from the base to the volumetric rate, the volumetric rate is charged per cubic meter and is proposed to increase in 2016 from $2.45 to $2.72 per cubic meter. This is a 10.9% increase, but is still below the 2015 Niagara average of $2.816 per meter cubed. So when we look at the total all-in cost for both the base and the variable rates, for the average household, we use a comparison of 16 cubic meters per household. The overall increase is 4.74% or $4.93 per month. And again, this largely reflects the increases on the treatment side. The average cost per household increases from $3.42 currently to $3.58 per day. And this is just a simple chart to show how the town's water rate, inclusive of wastewater, compares and how it compares to other household consumption. In this case, the town water, including the wastewater charges, is 0.27 cents per liter when compared with soda and gasoline. It would be 1/300th of the cost per liter of those, and a better comparison still would be bottled water, which even when bought in larger amounts is still 25 cents per liter or 92 times as much per liter. So here you see the 4.74% proposed for 2016 with comparisons from the past 5 years. The average increase over those 5 years, excluding 2016, but including, of course, all the other 5 years, is 2.75%. The 0% in 2014 resulted from a significant decrease in regional treatment costs. And the town benefited at that point from the change that was anticipated. The 5-year forecast for 2017 to 2021 is 1.17% per year. Note, however, this doesn't include any supplemental increases to the capital contributions. Some of the risks and opportunities to wrap this up for our water and wastewater budgets include weather, which plays a large role impacting consumption. A cool or damp summer translates into lower water consumption and higher wastewater treatment costs due to infiltration. Severe winters, as seen this last year in particular, also increase exposure to unbilled water and maintenance costs through broken water mains and frozen pipes. Decreasing base charges and placing a greater reliance on volumetric rates creates a greater revenue risk, as volume variances that can easily happen, particularly as mentioned with through weather events, may be experienced and impact the revenue able to be collected. The regional wastewater treatment reconciliation places risk on the related stabilization reserves due to difficulty in forecasting some of those. The town does work hard to track our usage and project as far as we can, but it does leave us to some risk in the longer term with knowing how the region is billing for those. There is an ongoing risk related to customer base shifts. In other words, the presence of larger customers coming in or leaving town can have a large impact on consumption. Legislative compliance, as noted earlier, continues to be a risk and a stress on the system. The DWQMS requirements are planned to be extended to wastewater in the coming year, and that certainly it adds additional stress on the system. Provincial comparisons, in our case, we are relatively high with our residential rate. However, our commercial industrial rates are lower than the provincial averages. And lastly, with risks, our reserves, the balance totals are less than the provincial averages, and that's part of why we're targeting some improvements year over year with in that area. Some opportunities to note. For infrastructure funding, council may address the capital reserve funding gap further, as noted in the alternative section of the report. Every 1% rate additional increase provides $174,000 in additional capital reserve contributions. As noted on page 5 of the report and earlier, in leveraging funding, the town is applying for various capital and operating programs where possible, such as the Building Canada Fund Small Communities component that was applied for the Bowen Road project, as well as the CSO or Combined Sewer Overflow programs. Meter changeout program, the aim of that is to reduce meter reading costs, which we have seen some benefits in the longer term, as well as enhancing the type of information that's available to us and providing more accurate information. Some key financial indicators that the provincial report publishes annually show that the town does compare favorably in a few key areas, that being the asset consumption ratio, which is the age of our assets and how much of the useful life is remaining of those, as well as the debt charge percent of revenue, which expresses debt charges as a percentage of revenue. There you can see that our debt charges are quite low. That is the end of my presentation. I turn it back to the chair for questions.
Thank you so much, Mr. Jansen, and thank you as well, Mr. Boutine. Does any members of council have any questions? Councillor Butler?
Thank you. Through you, your chair, to Mr. Jansen. I wonder if you could just clarify something for me, because I'm not quite sure if I understood it correctly. You mentioned on slide 28, by the way, both presentations were really very good. Thank you. And just wanted to make mention that I read the Town of Fort Erie drinking water distribution system report that Mr. Boutin's team put together, and it was very informative. So I know that you do a lot of work in trying to provide quality water to all of us. But I do have a question with respect to the increase. So 65.42 will be, for example, on my monthly bill rate, that would be my base charge, correct? Okay. And then there will be a variable that I can control myself, which is 75%, 25% that I cannot. But you mentioned there was going to be an overall increase of 4.74%. overall?
Yeah, through the chair to Councillor Butler. Just to clarify, the 75 and 25% you referenced, that's the region's billing methodology of us, or for the town. Our portion works out for 2016 to be 60% versus 40% for fixed and variable. And you can see in this, on slide 31, in the 2016 column, this one shows separated for water and wastewater per month, but the total increase for all base charges, yes, is the $65. So the difference between that and the total monthly of 108 would be the consumption charges using 16 cubic meters per month.
Okay,
so it maybe just in summary, yeah, 60% of the average bill is a base charge that doesn't change month to month.
Okay.
40% would be variable based on how much you consume.
Thank you. And so I just wanted to ask one final question because my math doesn't add up, and maybe you can help me translate it into what it is. So the increase for the rate per I don't know what that stands for, so excuse me. But it increased from 1.192 to 1.322, which is an 11% increase for 2016. So, it's page 1 of 12 in the report for water and wastewater. How does that translate then? So if there's an 11% increase on our end, how does that translate to the 4% overall?
Through the chair, Councillor. So are you comparing the 1% increase in the base to the 10.9% in the variable rate? Yeah, the average of those two numbers directly together is not 4.74%, but because the 1% increase is weighted more currently at 62% of the bill than the other portion, then the 1% increase has more of an influence on the bill than the 10.9%. So without getting into the math of it, yeah, it's just that the 1% is a higher weighting. So in those cases, the average of those two is the 4.74%.
Thank you.
Anything further, Councillor Butler? No. Councillor Becerra?
Thank you, Madam Chair. We're spending an inordinate amount of money to treat rainwater and groundwater. And you had mentioned 25% of the cast iron pipe still remains, the vitrified clay pipes for the extraneous flows. Is there any rationale whatsoever, especially given the last slide and the last point where our debt servicing ratio is extremely low compared to the average, is there any rationale to debenture funds to look at attacking some of these projects? And I asked that based on a comment I heard during last year's budget when this council was talking about road resurfacing, and the point was made that we might have a couple of road resurfacing projects where the money is allocated above to proceed, but we're waiting for the water infrastructure funding to catch up. I'm just wondering, could we debenture some funds, tackle some of these, and get some road resurfacing done at the same time?
Mr. Jansen?
That is one option that council could take. We would look at that in connection with our whole asset management plan and the total spending and in relation to staffing capacity and other issues related to that. But certainly, there is room in our debt capacity to accelerate that as well.
I'm just looking from the standpoint for you, Madam Chair, that if we're spending X amount of dollars to treat water not being used, balance that against the servicing cost to the debt over a longer period of time, how would that shake out? So over the coming 12 months, as we get that asset management plan put together more cohesively, I look forward to maybe a discussion along the lines of this topic, maybe for next year's budget or the months leading up to next year's budget. And if I could, one other comment. Slide 32, you talked about the rate comparison amongst other household consumptions. Is there any way that we can start packaging and selling Town of Fort Erie water in bottle form and make some serious money? Is that a maybe?
I think we would welcome any and all revenue opportunities such as that.
That's all. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mayor Redicott?
Just to pick up on Councillor Passero's comments about the extraneous flows, at the region the other morning, there was an indication that as part of their master servicing plan studies, the region is going to be doing some analysis with respect to their system, and in particular, they were looking at the influence of wet water conditions as an example, and perhaps also looking at infiltrations into their system. I think that's something that, if we can, we should try to pursue to see whether we could get perhaps the region to fund some analysis with respect to our extraneous flows. Is that something that, Madam Chair, through you, is that something that we could pursue?
Mr. Boutin?
Yeah, I'll attempt a little, but Kelly may want to comment here. The region does and has opened up that funding envelope with respect to CSO where there's a study requirement, and I think that's where you're going. And any submission that we do, and we've expressed that interest to them early this fall, like I said, they will certainly contribute to studies related to identifying source control with respect to extraneous flow. That is in the criteria of available funds from the region.
Initially, Madam Chair, if I might, I was making notes at the region, I was looking at maybe some type of joint project. But having listened to the person who dealt with that part of the presentation, it looks like they're going to be doing some analysis throughout the region. They're going to look at their system, but their system is affected by our system. So I'm wondering whether we shouldn't be maybe pursuing that, see whether we can get the region on their initiative to maybe fund some type of analysis. The reason I say that is because I'm very much supportive of borrowing money where we have the ability to do that to deal with some of these issues, provided we've got a plan and provided we understand exactly where the best money is spent. It would appear that replacing the clay sewer pipe is a priority. There may be some other areas as well that we would need to identify. So unless we've got that information now specifically, I think we need to do the analysis and put together a plan. But I do agree that we need to contemplate that, because we're still probably treating a better idea than I do, but I'm guessing it's a third.
A couple of million bucks a year.
So it's a third of our sewage treatment costs to the region. And, if we could spend $5 million to eliminate that $2 million, or if we could determine how much money we would need to borrow, what the payback would be over a period of time, then it's a lot easier to justify doing it, and we definitely need to do it. We were very fortunate years ago to have additional funds that we could accelerate a lot of this rejuvenation of our underground infrastructure. We don't have those revenues right now. Second question, if I might, Madam Chair, relates to the water. And I know that that the water is metered coming out of the plant. And is the region's water metered immediately as it leaves the plant?
Mr. Walsh or Mr. Boutin?
Yeah, Kelly wanted to comment on your earlier comments, Your Worship. Okay. But yes, the water leaves Rose Hill. Actually, there's two feeds that leave the plant now, an east and west feed, and are both metered immediately as they leave the door.
And are they, Madam Chair, are they metered any place else along the regional trunk main line?
At this point, no. We've entered in negotiations with the region to initiate that type of metering. And that would be to incorporate what we call water loss surveys through zone metering and leak detection. And we're currently in negotiations with the region with respect to the Dominion Road water main works and the installation of a zone meter right at Dominion Rose Hill. So we can use that meter to measure and quantify flows to isolated zones. So they are receptive to participating in those programs.
And before we get to Mr. Wallace, just to finish up on this point, so does the region ever have leaks in their water mains?
Madam Chair, to Your Worship, yes,
and that's why they've agreed to participate. This exercise of establishing permanent zone metering will facilitate water loss surveys on both regional and town infrastructure, hence their agreement to cost share in the program.
At this point, if there's a break in a regional water main, are we paying for that water? Do we have any historic record of regional water main breaks in the town?
Mr. Mattan?
Through you, Madam Chair. The frequency of breaks on regional infrastructure, far less than that of our older vintage. All can appreciate the region didn't exist till 70s. Our older cast iron pipe has been here for 100 years. Hence, their infrastructure, not near the age of ours, the failure rate less. Not to say they don't have leaks and failures, and they have gone forward and replaced or downloaded some of their infrastructure to us. But they have an aggressive capital program as well in upgrading their infrastructure.
I suppose the real concern wouldn't be so much the breaks, because they're typically ascertained relatively quickly with the amount of water. It'd be the leaks that would be problematic. That's very helpful information. So I think Mr. Walsh wanted to...
Mr. Walsh, did you want to comment on the mayor's first question?
Yes, thank you. Through you, Madam Chair. Just commentary on what your subject was on attacking clay sewers. The 10-year capital program that was just recently presented was somewhat of a reset from previous years, in that we used the asset nav tool that was part of our asset management program, as well as hands-on field knowledge, to identify what we think are the worst areas in town, both in terms of cast iron water mains, leaky sanitary sewers or failing sanitary sewers, and roads in terrible condition. So all those projects got loaded into the 10-year capital program as much as the budget would allow. Second, and there's certainly more beyond that. If there was more money, we could do more. The second part is that you had talked about a systematic program to identify these. In the past year, the town has purchased 5 sewer flow monitors. We have those in place on the Catherine Street sewer, which is being reconstructed next year, and in front of the Nye Road pump station. That's monitoring sewage flow right now. We'll get an idea of what our wet weather flows out of that monitoring. Catherine Street will be replaced. We'll throw the flow monitors back in after it's new and get a revised value on wet weather coming in from the system. We can then identify what effect, Catherine Street directly had on affecting wet weather flow, but also how much of the problem is outside Catherine Street. And then we can hope to narrow it down from there and reset readjust our capital program going forward through flow monitoring to attack the worst sewers. In the place of one more quick comment, in the place of the Nye Road sewer shed, it wasn't a problem until 2 or 3 years ago, Grant, when we started getting high level alarms due to wet weather flows. So this is a new problem. We're trying to identify where we are right there, and hopefully through new technologies, in situ repairs and replacements, that we can affect the wet weather flows there without too much effect on the capital program.
Thank you. That's helpful. If I might, Madam Chair, just going to not on the floor yet, but part of the presentation dealt with the budget and then what's called supplemental items, and they appear to be really items relative to monies allocated to the reserve funds, stabilization reserve funds. Is there anything else that goes into supplemental for this type of budget, and why would we use that type of modeling?
Mr. Jansen?
Through you, Chair, to the Mayor. The supplementary budget, in accordance with our budget policy, is designed to identify anything that's a new service or an enhancement of service, similar to last year with the the added staff, or what's to be considered one-time funding from a reserve that's, in this case, primarily related to these wastewater reconciliations. They come in the form of a supplementary budget so that council is approving and having a more detailed awareness of how those reserves are being used and the impact of them. Did that answer your question?
Well, it did. I guess I'm just a little befuddled by the notion. These are, so for this year's budget, we have three items: allocation to rate stabilization reserve, allocation from rate stabilization reserve, and allocation to infrastructure reserve. Three items, each of which we have to deal with. In terms of the significant over $900,000 additional charges for wastewater from the region, we have to pay those. Those have to be paid. So I understand that we have a choice. We have a choice with respect to every line item in this budget, with respect to whether we adopt it as it is or whether we try to alter it. So I'm thinking that it just makes it a little more confusing when we call it supplemental. Just an observation, and I don't think that it takes away from or necessarily alters anything. It's just an observation. But I did have a couple of pages. I don't want to monopolize this, Madam Chair, so I'm happy to give up the floor for a minute if there are other questions. I did have some others.
You can continue.
Okay, thank you. On page 14 of the presentation, which talks about the regional treatment costs, and there's a reference to an increase in the budget on page 14, $1.609 million, or 9.74% for the town. 14.
I'm sorry, Your Worship, with regard to the report or the presentation?
Presentation.
14.
Slide 14.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes, that's it. Of that $1.609 million, $900,000 relates to the adjustment. Well, actually, there's a water adjustment too, is there not? So that the total is about $1.2 million, isn't it?
The components of this, yeah, the $1.6 million would include the $935,000 Appendix 2, which I was just going to pull, would show some of the other non-wastewater reconciliation items, which are mostly from the share of the volumes in the second and third to last points of that slide, the 2% increase in water volume and 3.87% increase in the wastewater.
So just so that I've got this clear, we know with some, don't know, we can speculate with some degree of not even accuracy. We can guess what we're going to have to pay 2 years from now based on this 3-year averaging that the region does regarding water and wastewater charges to us. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, in this case, the amount, the $935,000 this year was forecasted at the end of last year, and so we are able in this case for the 2016 budget to we know that amount. That amount is actually announced by the region in the fall. And the 2017 amount is a forecast from our 15 actuals year to date. So the $550,000 we're estimating, which is also estimated to have a funding from the rate stabilization reserves of $550,000 in 2017 is our forecast for that. Beyond 2017, of course, we would not have any estimate for 2018 because that will be based on 2016 actuals.
So the one slide that we had here, which showed the historic base charges and the fluctuation in that over the past several years and then speculates that into the future, between 2017 and 21, it's going to be a 1.17% increase in the base on the average household charge. Is that the base rate, or is that the just the base rate? That's slide 33.
Through the chair, Deputy Mayor. This, if you're looking at slide 33, that's the historic, but you were referring to the one, okay, yeah, at the bottom, sorry, is the 1.17%. Yeah. That forecast includes that $550,000 for 2017. However, it does assume that, and you can see that in your reserve sheets with your package, that it will also be funded from the rate stabilization reserves.
Right, and I guess just looking at this graph, this chart, whatever, I'm a little perplexed, I guess, or maybe I shouldn't be, how this fluctuates. We know coming down the road that there's going to be some problems. We can't speculate beyond 3 years, and we really don't know what the average going forward is because we don't know what the weather will be. We don't know what the weather's going to be like for 2016. So we don't know what the impact will be over the next 2 years following that, but I would have thought that we would have a much more consistent series of numbers across here in terms of reflecting what we're doing in terms of trying to budget, so that we're not in a situation where we're faced with a $935,000 shortfall or a $1.6 million dollar shortfall in our budget, which means we're having to look at a large increase for 2016, more than twice as much as 15. 14 was zero, which is, I find fascinating. And then, you know, I can kind of get the others. Understanding that we'd all love to have this at zero. I mean, I'd love to have it at zero. The reality is it's not going to be at zero because the cost of materials, the cost of labor, the cost of maintaining our infrastructure, which keeps aging and which we need to maintain. Never going to be zero, so we do have to increase it. But wouldn't it be easier, I guess my question would be, wouldn't it be easier from a budgetary perspective, number one, and number two, wouldn't it be easier for the residents who are paying these bills if there was some consistency, if we could find a way to do that? Madam Chair?
Mr. Jansen?
The consistency that our best use of consistency right now is to have healthy reserves such that next year the part of the 1.17% increase over those 5 years for 2017 is a lower rate increase as well, because it is planned to be used from reserves. We still have enough money in our rate stabilization reserves to account for that increase. Over the longer term, Beyond that, we're not estimating an amount either way. We could switch to having a credit again. So, in terms of how we're budgeting, the rate stabilization is our attempt to address those large increases.
I understand that, but we're dipping significantly into the rate stabilization reserves this year. We did last year, and they're going to be about half the end of this year. Once we finish with this budget, they're going to be about half what they were when we started. So that if we have another bad year, if 2017 is a bad year, we're still in a predicament. I guess I'm just trying to find ways that we can best market what it is we're trying to do here and trying to highlight. And I think your report has done a very good job. I think your report and I think the slide presentation is very good. I presume this will go up on the website.
Yes.
Because this is very helpful in trying to explain some of the difficulties that the town of Fort Erie is faced with in trying to manage a spread out water and sewer infrastructure system. The slide that showed the graph as to how we compare with other municipalities is excellent information. And we may not be happy about the information, but that's the information. The comparison that you've made with respect to how much a glass of water from our taps costs compared to pop or drinking gasoline, I hope. But that's very helpful as well, because it shows that, I mean, I think you could have used beer as an example, because that is or milk, which is something that a lot of people drink. Those are direct comparisons, and the cost of those is infinitely greater than water. So I think that's helpful. People, of course, say, well, okay, it's the same situation for the community next door. But the infrastructure challenges that we're faced with, number one, to some extent answers that. And number two, it would be helpful if we had this information. Where do we stand in terms of the other municipalities, in terms of our asset management of those water and sewer line structure assets? Because I think that that would be very helpful in selling this type of budget to the residents, because I know that we're in much better shape than many of the other communities. Have the ability to get that kind of information out.
Did you want to comment, Mr. Jensen or Mr. Walsh?
Yes. As these asset management plans come online, the general consensus in the region with treasurers is that most of the financing of them and the reports will become more generally available this next year. Many were hopeful that they would be integrated more in their budgets this year, but the sense among most is that it will be available next year. So I expect that to be one thing where there will become more comparable information to see the funding of the asset needs does compare by municipality.
And then just finally, I'll stop flogging this horse. With respect to the billing, we read the meters. I think we try to read them on a monthly basis, but they're not always read on a monthly basis. Is that correct?
Mr. Boutin?
Our current contract service provider provides monthly rates.
Okay. And we used to send out bills before we went to metering every 3 months. Then it was every 2 months. And for quite a while, it's been every month. I know that part of the argument for that was that we should be reading the meter so that we can get a handle on areas where water might be lost. If we're going to zone metering, is there any opportunity or is there any worthwhile savings that might be realized if we were to go to either bi-monthly reading or bi-monthly billing, recognizing that I know another argument for monthly billing is that it's easier for people to manage that if it's a monthly basis. Any consideration given to that?
Through you, Madam Chair. Certainly, from Grant's perspective, we support the monthly billing, and your comments about using monthly billing data in initiating a zone metering exercise would enhance that exercise in so much as what you're trying to do is compare what you're field measuring to the data you have available to you through obtaining monthly reads. The cost associated with monthly reads, Jonathan mentioned earlier, is going to go down significantly. Council's aware we're installing radio frequency water meters, and I want to believe in maybe 2 years or 2.5 years, we won't have a contracted service provider for reading those meters, so there'll be some savings realized there. So again, those exercises work in tandem to complement water loss surveys. To place a lag in the billing data does two things. It offers an opportunity for inaccuracy in leveraging the lag time between the reads. So it's a win-win to continue the monthly component as far as from an operations perspective.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and thank you to the staff, both finance and Public Works for the good report, presentation, information that they've provided to us, and the excellent work they've done.
Are there any additional questions, Councillor Lubertz?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. I guess my questions would go to Jonathan. Just looking at the slides 14 and 15, and I guess I just get a little confused as to how the region's looking at their budget and decreasing things, yet they add a cost over to the municipality. And I know that if you look at slide 15, there's a reconciliation of adjustments for 2014. But maybe I need a little more explanation on how this proportionate share or portions go. If we look at slide 33, for some reason we predicted on our estimates, and then it showed that, well, there was no reason to increase the water rates. Yet look at how far out we were, because the $900,000 that the region is bringing to us this year is because of the actual flows of 2014. And to me, that when I look at something like that, I say to myself, well, I think maybe we need to take a second look at how we're trying to do the balancing act, because I know that this is what this is all about. But I'm having I'm just confused as to how this works. Can you explain a little bit more on how the proportions work and how the region applies that to the municipality? How does all that work with them being a decrease on their end, yet a $900,000 charge on our end?
Mr. Jansen?
Through you, Madam Chair, to Council Lubritz. The region portion, really the main drivers, while their budget is essentially a 0%, in this case, the main issues are that our shares are in 2016 estimated to increase relative to everyone else's. So the region is raising the same amount in revenues in 16 over 15. However, the Fort Erie's share of that has gone up 2% of our share last year. So that's for water and the 3.87% for wastewater. So that's a portion of it. But the wastewater charge does make up most of that. And in simple terms, for that wastewater reconciliation, the town would have been underbilled in 2014 for what it should have paid based on actual experience that year. So the estimate, the region bills the municipalities based on an estimate of what they think the municipality will incur charges for that year. So when we experience when the region treated considerably more wastewater for Fort Erie than was estimated, that's when that reconciliation ends up being due to the region 3 years later. So are there other specific components to that I can try and explain?
Well, I think when you're saying that the region is estimating what they think will go through the system, and then and let's just stay at 2014. That didn't happen. There was actually more, so they charged us $900,000. They used the same formula for all the other municipalities. Am I correct?
You are correct. That reconciliation is a zero-sum reconciliation, so some municipalities will be in a refund position or credit position, and some municipalities, because their share was higher, would owe monies. Prior to 2016, the town had credits in the past 2 years of $353,000 and approximately $500,000 the year before, I believe. So we've been on both sides. It's just, unfortunately, in this case, both for 16 and projecting for 17, we're using more. We're seeing with actual results that we're using more than our previous average. So our trend is increasing treatment, even though our consumption is decreasing.
Okay, it's getting a little more clear now. They make an estimate on what they believe is going to go through the system. We do the same thing here, correct? So are we comparing what we're predicting as to what they're predicting? Because if there's a deficiency between the two of them, or if there's a wide gap, we need to talk to the region, or the region needs to talk to us and say, our calculations are showing a difference in what in the prediction. Does that happen? Or, I don't know that we even compare them. Do we compare them? I've never seen anything come from the region.
Mr. Jansen?
We make an estimate of what we will pay only for the 75% variable of the water charge. When you look at the next slide, the only area where we're being charged a variable rate is for the water side. So it's in that area that we are estimating on our side how much we expect also to pay. And we are conservative generally with that number, where we estimate that to be higher than what the region's estimate is.
But we do compare our estimates with the region's estimates. And if there's a deficiency, like let's say a wider gap, do we make more adjustments? If the region comes back and says, well, we think you're going to use more water, do we consider that and come back and say, well, maybe we're not too accurate with that? Because where I'm going with this, I'm back with where Mayor Redekop was, being more consistent with our predictions. And when we're showing a 0% and then we're showing this, that, ups and downs, I guess we need to, I just need a better handle on putting all that into perspective, because it seems that over the last 5 years of going over water and wastewater, that is the major problem that we're having, is predicting what we're going to be doing. And it seems like we're out, in my estimation, it seems like we're out too much. Because now here we're looking at another 4% increase in water. And I know that when we're done with all this, the people in Fort Erie are going to be screaming because there's another increase in water. And we are at the higher end now. And I understand that it has to be total cost recovery and everything, but they don't get it as much as, I'm not saying they don't get it, but they get it, but they don't like the 4% and the 6% increases. And, you know, I'm going to hear about it in the coffee shop when they say, well, geez, you know, we looked at the region and the region doesn't have any increase. How can we? Yeah, I could go through the drive-thru, I suppose, but they expect me to be there. How am I going to explain that to them?
Mayor Redekop?
We don't have Appendix 2 to the report on the floor yet, but if you turn to Appendix 2, that really tells the whole story. It's the charges that we're paying for today for the water that was treated yesterday, either water or wastewater, that we're now paying for. It's difficult for each and every municipality to speculate on how much water is going to be utilized. And the region, don't forget, the region has 11 customers. It has about 11 customers, and it has complete control over how it charges for the commodity that it is providing to the municipalities, so that it determines rate structure, it determines the price, and it determines how it recovers its money, and we have to pay them. So that what's happening is, if you look at Appendix 2 and you can see the wastewater charge, this three-year average wastewater charge, it all goes back to the extraneous flows into our system. The one-third of the stormwater that we're treating and paying for. And if we can find a way to reduce that, then we're going to be able to put ourselves in a much better position at being able to predict from year to year what we think the charges will be. Because then all we're dealing with will be the habits of the residents in terms of their usage of water and, by definition, wastewater. Right now, we're dependent upon the weather. If we have a wet year, it's disastrous for this community, because we're paying for 1 gallon of stormwater for every two of sewage that is being treated. If we have a dry year, that's fantastic. And we should all be praying for dry weather, because that means there aren't any extraneous inflows into the sewage system, and people might water their gardens and maybe wash the dust off their cars. But the report indicates clearly that the effect of water meters has been extremely successful, in the sense that people are becoming more frugal in terms of how they use water. And the report indicates that that's likely going to continue, which means that we have to charge more for the water that's used, because there's less of it being used, but we still have the same infrastructure system to maintain. So it's a great challenge, and it really all boils down to how are we going to deal with this extraneous flow issue. It's been out there for a long time. There's been a lot of work that's been done in trying to change, improve our infrastructure, but there's a lot of work that has to be done, and I think maybe this is the council that will be in a position to, and will make the commitment to tackle it, because it's got to be done.
Councillor Roberts, you do still have the floor.
Yes, thank you very much. And I understand all that. I've gone through this with previous council and stuff. I understand where we're at, and I'm not trying to criticize staff for what's happening. I understand it, but it's the same thing every year. We keep coming back to the ratepayer and saying, this is where we're at. And if that's the case, then we need to go into our infrastructure and start putting money into those water lines, so that they're not leaking. Or if we have to go into a program with the region where we start metering in certain areas, zone metering, like, I guess that's what you call it, then maybe we need to move forward with that. But is that in our forecast for 2016? Is there anything in the budget for 2016 to do that? I guess that's what my question would be with that, because sure, it's good to say that, well, let's do that. Here's the budget here that shows that we need to do that. And are we going to do that? Is there anything there?
Mr. Boutin?
Certainly through you, Madam Chair, to Council Loop. I can speak to the zone metering component. We do have an outstanding $60,000 capital budget line item to cost share with the region. We've had it for a couple of years and held in advance, trying to bring them on board with respect to concurrence with that type of a program. And we have confirmation now that they are on board. So if that $60,000 gets us our proportionate share of a zone meter at Dominion Road, or possibly one there and one another zone. So those negotiations are ongoing, and our commitment for funding is there. When that $60,000 is exhausted and we can demonstrate the successes of a program as such, further requests will come before council that this was a good idea. We'll look forward to further permanent zone meter installations to assist in our water loss surveys.
All right, thank you very much. And if I may, Madam Chair, just one more thing. Going back to the comparison chart with the cost of soda and gasoline, and particularly water, bottled water compared to our water. And I discussed this in infrastructure meetings. I discussed it with Mr. Cookett. And is now that we have brought go ahead.
Sorry, I just thought I seen Mr. Walsh's hand up, so I was just trying to, I'm sorry.
Well, maybe I brought it up to Mr. Walsh also. But anyway, going into the we have now hired a communications person. It's going to start January. Is there any appetite for staff or even council to have some kind of marketing plan or marketing strategy done to promote the use of our water? And the reason I'm saying that is because over and over again now we're hearing that companies that are selling bottled water is no more than tap water. And the people in Fort Erie are buying tap water at the grocery stores from other municipalities, not their municipality. And now we get into this, what Mayor Redicott was talking about with the volume. if there's more volume of water being used in Fort Erie, then we can tackle the rates. We can keep the rates down. It's the problem that we're having is as the rates go up, people conserve. When people are conserving, we have to charge them more because our fixed rates don't change. So we just have to keep bumping up the rates. Is there an appetite to do some kind of marketing campaign where we can try to get people to use town water instead of buying bottled water and then track it to see if it's working?
Mr. Cookett, did you want to comment on that question?
Sure. Through you, Chair, to Councilor Hurwitz. What I'm doing is actually compiling a list so when the communications person does start January 11th, there are certain things that we need to promote out there. The town does a lot of good things, and there's things that we need to promote as far as the programs that were mentioned earlier here, the WRF and the SURF, and as well as water. And we need to get that out there. That's, you know what, take your water bottle and refill it. Don't go to the store and buy a new one. So I am compiling a list of things that I want the new person to address in the new year, and this is one of them for sure.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much, Mr. Cookett. And just to finish up on that there, when Mr. Boutin brings reports to the infrastructure meetings, one of the things that he is very proud of is the fact that Fort Erie has great drinking water. And, you know, and it is some of the best water probably in the region, maybe in the province. So, thank you very much, Mr. Boutin, for doing the job that you do in our water. And then maybe we can, with this new person coming in January, we can do something to increase the use of our water and promote it as a better alternative than tap water from the grocery store.
Mr. Welsh, did I see your hand up? Did you want to make any comment? Okay. Are there any other council members? Councilor Nutt?
Thank you, Madam Chair. First off, I'd like to thank staff for the very thorough report and the great presentation. Very much like last year, it was very informative. I have concerns, as well as the rest of the council, I'm sure. I'd like to develop a comprehensive look-forward plan, and I think I agree wholeheartedly with Councilor Passero in that we need to look at where we can capitalize and possibly debenture, because we definitely need to accelerate stabilization. We have a lot of developments that are on the go right now. It's going to be adding users, and that's obviously going to help to stabilize the rate as well. As more subdivisions get built out and some of the larger users like the school and the CMS come online, it's going to help us in the future. But again, the extraneous flow is the major problem. And I was wondering, my question that I'm hoping Mr. Boutin can or Mr. Jansen can put a number to is, what is the anticipated cost savings from replacing the Catherine Street water and sewer line? How much of an impact do you think that's going to have on the extraneous flow? Ballpark it.
Mr. Welsh?
It's through you, Madam Chair. It's less than you think. I think if we can get 1% reduction in our extraneous flow, we're doing okay. Because you look at the length of our sewer network is 280 kilometers, Grant, or so, 300 kilometers for easy bath. We're replacing 2 kilometers of sewer.
Councilor Nunn, anything further?
No, nothing further at this time, other than that I just want to point out there's no two bigger water drinkers in my household than myself and my Golden Lab. Not when the missus is around.
Mr. Cookett?
Yeah, just a few comments. I hear what Councilor Nutt is saying regarding a comprehensive plan, and that's being and done through our asset management plan. But the only thing I can suggest, and what we do in the short term, and I think Ms. Boutin will agree, is our CCTV inspection program, which is our closed circuit TV inspection, and that identifies the very bad sewers with extraneous flows. And if I would suggest anything in the short term is we put more money towards that program and do more TV inspections, identify the real bad sewers and manholes and address those immediately.
Thank you, Mr. Cookett. Does any other members have any questions? Councillor Passero?
Just a quick comment. I'm making a pledge this evening. I'm going to be switching from Ryan Coke to Ryan Water. And I think single-handedly I can make a huge dent in this revenue issue we're having. So that's my pledge.
Are there any additional questions or comments? I actually just had a couple, if I may. First of all, I want to thank Mr. Jansen and his team and Mr. Boutin and the entire infrastructure team. This has been a very, very informative presentation, and unfortunately, you're the bearer of bad news, but what I am really pleased to hear is it looks like this is the council that has the appetite for fixing the problem, and we definitely have a problem. I did have a question with regard to the families, and I know that I'm going to have a number of constituents that will be approaching me with concern, because last budget I had a number of constituents, especially seniors and fixed income constituents, that had concern with the smaller increase. But primarily what my question is, I know that there's relief policies in place, but it's the process that I'd like to get a better understanding of, because I knew at this time last year when I was working with constituents that wanted to see how they could qualify, the timing of the process just it seems to be a little bit out of date, and the application process overall, they wouldn't essentially be able to apply for this until I believe it was after May or June of 2016. Mr. Jansen, I know I'm probably kind of putting you on the spot here.
Sure. I don't have a lot of the details here with me. There is a lot of information on the town's website with respect to that. I know I have Jill here in the audience, and she would have a lot more specifics in terms of how they're administered and the timing of them. For the SURF program, it does have an October 31st deadline annually for applying for that relief. The other WERF program is administered by Salvation Army and can be applied for at any time. Yep.
Thank you. So our SURF program, I'm sorry, was that... Ms. Courtney, would you mind actually coming up with, would that be okay? Your Worship, would you mind turning her mic on? Thank you. So what I'm wondering is, you know, and again, it's the timing. So for example, this increase, although, you know, some may not have a problem with a $4.93 a month increase, but some really do. So by the time this increase is implemented, the constituent actually, you know, they're going to be suffering this increase 2016, but essentially they're not going to be able to apply for relief until October of 2016, the way the current process is.
The application for the SURF runs from May the 1st till October 31st, and that enables us to pull in all the data, make sure the applications are correct, and have that credit on the November water bill for December, so that the water bills that are being mailed out next week have the $100 credit on to go with the Christmas season when for our seniors.
Okay, so what is the month that our seniors will see the actual increase, though?
January.
So from January till essentially November, they'll still be subject to the increase. The relief wouldn't kick in until November.
Yeah, it's not a relief, it's a credit. So it's a one-time credit on an annual basis.
Okay, so they pay up front, but they're credited in November. Got it. And I know there's information on the town website, and I know essentially, you know, when seniors have been contacting me with concern, I've been asking them to contact you.
Really simple. All they have to do is receive the guaranteed income supplement on their old age pension. If they receive the GIS, Guaranteed Income Supplement, they probably 99.9% will be eligible for the SERF credit.
Okay.
And it's a one-page form. And all you have to do is just show us that you received that GIS in the previous tax year.
Excellent. Thank you.
It is a simple application.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Want to know anything about the other program?
Yes, please, if you wouldn't mind.
So the WERF program is run by the Salvation Army. It's by referral. And basically, it's more for lower-income families. And it's to avoid a disconnection or be reconnected after a disconnection of your water services. The Salvation Army take those applications, and they review all the income requirements as they are trained to do for other regional programs and provincial programs, energy programs, anything like that, and apply those same criteria to the Town of Fort Erie WERF program. And then they approve the applications. And it's based on a certain mathematical calculation of what the balance is owing on the account. But it includes a lump sum and then payment arrangements to pay up the remaining balance on their water account. A little more complicated, a little more time consuming, and a little more paperwork that the applicant needs to provide to the Salvation Army, not to town staff, because we're not trained to take those type of applications.
Do you have, for inquiries, do you have a contact information for this program, the WERF program, that you can refer constituents to through the Salvation Army, or do they just go directly to the Salvation Army?
We can refer them. The CSU customer service unit agents will refer them back in water and billing collection. We can refer them. They are sometimes referred to the Salvation Army through other utility programs, Hydro, and then when they get there, they are told about the water program. So sometimes if a low-income family is going to the Salvation Army, they may be making application to two or three different utility funding programs.
Good to know. I'm just wondering if any members of council has any questions regarding this program. Ms. Corney.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. What's the uptake on these two programs? Are they fully applied for?
No, not completely. The WERF program has been running since 2008-2015, and we've utilized about 83% of the funding available each and every year. The SERF program, which has been running from 2010-2015, we've actually utilized about 93% of the available funding over those years.
It's pretty significant. Yeah, thank you.
So is it 100%? No, it isn't, but are they being utilized? Yes, they are, definitely.
Excellent, thank you. Councillor Lubberts? Okay, I guess that's it for questions, and thank you very much for answering those. I think it's so important, and we all benefit when staff can really be involved with this process, and for the residents listening in, I think that's so helpful for them. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I didn't have any additional questions. Councillor Lubert?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. Not a question, but just looking at the report and reviewing the report, and then looking at our slide 33 in our forecast. Under the alternatives in the report,
Councillor Lubberts, I think we're just going to focusing on the presentation, and then when the report's moved, then we could direct questions.
And we can refer back to the presentation too.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any additional questions with regard to the presentation? Okay, seeing none, thank you very much again. So that now brings us to report CBC02-2015, fees and changes. Can I get a mover for that report? Councillor Passero? That is now on the floor. Is there any questions or comments? Councillor Lubert?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. Just looking on the alternatives, and A, I think it's page 9 of the report, page 9 of 9. It says an additional increase of 1% in rates would allow for an additional $174,000 to infrastructure reserves. And I know we wouldn't, there's been some discussion over the horseshoe that maybe we would, where are we? Oh, first one. All right. I'm sorry. Okay. All right. No wonder everybody looks so confused.
I was actually just trying to figure out what page you were on. So I do believe you're on the, you're ahead or a step above us, I guess, a little bit ahead of us. Is there any questions with regard to the report that's on the floor? Mayor Redicott?
Madam Chair, looking at Appendix 1, there's a reference to fees regarding the columbariums. And maybe I'm missing this. What about the burial plots themselves? Is that in here?
Through the chair to Mayor, the attached appendix is intended to just be those items that are not being increased by previously approved indexing. So in those cases, it itemizes it in the report, but there's a change to the allocations to make sure that the proper amounts are being collected for care and maintenance and so on. The other cemetery rates, you're correct, there are several other areas. Those are being approved by in the case of cemetery rates, actually, it's the indexing of 0.9% plus year two of the five-year 5% phase-in.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Councillor Butler?
Thank you, Chair. Through you to, I guess, Mr. Jansen. First of all, I just wanted to make a comment with respect to the Community and Development Services and wanted to thank them for actually deleting a couple of the fees for 2016. So that's, I think, a great help. But my question is, why is there a $1,300 increase for the modification to draft approval?
Mr. Jansen or Mr. Brady, do you want to? Mr. Brady?
Yes, through you to the councillor. We're finding that when the draft plans that have already approved are being modified, that the modifications are not insignificant. They're much larger than we had than we've been experiencing over the last little while. So therefore, the amount of staff time and the amount of agency involvement has increased significantly, and that's why there was a request to increase that.
Councillor Butler.
So if there is a minor modification as opposed to a major modification, is there room for negotiations for that price, or is that fee structure set in stone?
Through to the councillor, the fee structure is as is before you. The draft plan is being extended and there is no modification required to it, then of course there's no need to do anything. If the modification is being proposed by an external agency, that's not a modification that we consider. What we're considering is, and I'm going to use an example, is we had Black Creek before us on Monday. That modification to that plan is much different than what we had before. That's the plans that we're trying to go after.
Thank you very much.
Councillor Lubert?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. Just looking at the parking fees, and we're looking at the Bay Beach lots and then Waterfront Park boat ramp. looking at these, obviously the taxes aren't included, so it would be like $10 per day for parking, and that would be an increase from $5 a day. But the boat ramp, I've had a lot of discussion with a lot of people use the boat ramp, and the indication that I got from a lot of people is that it should be significantly more than $5. They're talking maybe even $20, $15, $20. Other municipalities with people that I talk to, they have a fee for launching a boat and then bringing the boat out of the water. You pay, put the boat in, you pay, bring the boat out. And I'm just wondering if, I don't know, we could change it tonight. There's a possibility, or even make another consideration. Staff, maybe take another look at it. Especially the boat ramp. I can, the parking lots I'm fine with, but the boat ramp, I don't know that $10 fee for the boat ramp is the right number.
Mr. Walsh, did you want to comment on this?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Through you, that fee's raised from $5 to $10 this year. It's doubling. We are now still below market for a launch fee in parking. For instance, St. Catherine's Marina is $15. The Port Dalhousie Game and Fish Association is $13. This is $10. So we're in the range of what's out there on the market now. I'm not sure what Port Colborne charges. I'm not sure if Nichols Marine has a charge, but we feel we're in the ballpark now. We won't be losing any business this way. Council certainly has the opportunity to raise it if they feel it's justified, but we're fairly comfortable as staff with that fee right now.
Councilor Roberts.
Yes, thank you very much. I'm okay with the increase. I'm just saying that I know other municipalities are charging more, so maybe we'll leave it at $10 this year and then take another close look at it again next year, and maybe we'll bring it up to the same as everybody else.
Was there anything further, Councilor Roberts? Councilor Nutt?
Just to piggyback on Councilor Lubert's point is that I agree that we were vastly undercharging for our amenities along the shoreline. But to his point, and this is probably a question best directed to Mr. Jansen, will these fees be indexed for inflation over the next few years? Because then I think it addresses Councillor Lubert's concern.
Mr. Jansen?
Through you, Chair, to Councillor Nutt. I believe this is one where we decide that the end amount paid by the user is best rounded and not indexed. I think it's one that is more rather adjusted from time to time. So this is one that would have to have an amount that's proposed specifically in future years. Preferably, it seems, in this case, by, you know, $1 or a $5 increment.
Councilor Roberts?
Yes, thank you very much. Just to, I just thought of it. I see sometimes when I drive by a town hall that they advertise the yearly fee for the boat ramp. Is there going to be any increase in that? I don't see it here, but is there any talk of increasing that as well?
I don't believe there is, no.
No. Okay, thank you.
Anything further? Are there any additional questions regarding this report? Okay, I'll call the question. All those in favor? That carries. That brings us to CBC 03 2016 Water and Wastewater Operating Budget. Can I get a mover?
So moved.
Mayor Redicott, Beth on the floor, is there any questions or comments with regard to this report?
Yes, but I forget now.
the alternatives and the $174,000 alternative.
H9.
Yeah, when we're looking at that now, I'm listening to what's happening at what people are saying around the horseshoe here, and that, you know, there's an appetite to, you know, maybe be a little bit more aggressive and repairing some of our leaks and replacing some of our infrastructure. And when I look at the forecast on a page or slide 33, the history and forecast, the history was all forecasted as well. And I think at one time it was from 2011 to 2016. Now we see it from 2017 to 2021, 1.17%. I'm not suggesting that we add a percent this year, because 4% is enough, I think, but the forecast 1.17, I would think that if we're going to be looking at doing something like this, that we might want to do that forecast to have it the forecast of 2.17 and give us the 1% each year going forward, which tackles a few problems here. Reading the report, it says it will contribute to the infrastructure reserves, which I would assume will help us with our infrastructure gap and our asset management plan, and it will also help us alleviate the problem of borrowing money to move forward with some of the projects. And I don't know if we make an amendment to that, or if each year you bring it forward. If we're at 1.17, make it 2.17. I don't know how we'd go about doing that.
Mayor Redekop?
Yeah, I've got an amendment to the report I'd like to suggest, and it will probably be beneficial to Councillor Lubberts when he picks up his coffee, because he'll likely be able to go into the restaurant as opposed to drive through. And that is that at the end of the recommendations, we add this recommendation: that staff provide council with a preliminary report on how best to address the extraneous flows into the town's wastewater system. And that will then give us at least the platform to determine how we might want to approach attacking this. We've heard from the staff that they've got a fair bit of information with respect to this. I don't know if they've got all the information that they need, but it would be helpful if we had a report where we could see exactly what it is that could be done, what the staff is recommending we ought to contemplate being done. Maybe by the time that they get this report to us, they could provide us with some indication what the cost might be. Because $174,000 a year is $174,000 a year, but it's not going to put a serious dent into the infrastructure deficiencies we've got in order to reduce that 33% or 30% or whatever it is extraneous flows. So that's the amendment that I would suggest, and it gives us then something to at least work off of, and it gives our staff the ability to focus on this point. And if this amendment is accepted by council, then that indicates to staff that we're interested in going down that road.
So that amendment is on the floor. Is there any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'm going to call the question. First, Madam Clerk, are you clear on the amendment?
Okay, so the amendment is an additional recommendation that staff provide council with a preliminary report on how best to address the extraneous flows into the town's wastewater system.
All those in favor? That carries. Sorry, that carries as amended.
That's the amendment, Carrie.
Okay.
So now that's part of the report. We still have to deal with that.
So the original report is still on the floor as amended. Are there any questions or comments? I'll call the question. All those in favor? That carries. I will hand the chair back to you, Your Worship.
Thank you very much, Councillor Zanko. Very well done, and you had very good support from the staff. So, and very good comments around the table this evening. That takes us to dates of next meetings. The next meeting is January the 13th, 2016. That's the library and EDTC budget. Then the general levy operating budget on January the 27th. If necessary, a further meeting February 3rd. All meetings at 5:30, unless, let's just talk about that. What is there a possibility that we could have the actual meeting start at 6 with the gathering at 5:30 if anyone wants to grab a bite beforehand? Objection to that? What about staff? Any concerns about that from staff? Or the notices have already gone out? And even at that, we're not moving it up. It's going to be delayed. So let's make those meetings then commence at 6 o'clock, and we can gather here at 5:30. So that would be January the 13th at 6 o'clock. There are no other matters to be dealt with. So Councillor Nutt, how about an adjournment?
Certainly, Your Worship. Counseling Committee for Budget for the Town of Fort Erie hereby adjourns at 7:36 p.m. to reconvene a regular council meeting on December 14th at 6 p.m.
Thank you. All those in favor? None opposed. That is carried.